The sermon for today is based on the gospel lesson, and especially the beginning of the gospel lesson, a couple verses in. A sower went out to sow, and everything that comes after that. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So a sower went out to sow, and we have a parable, and I told you earlier that there have been some fairly recent insights in how you look at parables. Because when I grew up, you know, the saying was a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that works pretty well for the most part until somebody comes along, and it was about 15, 20 years ago, somebody came along and said, wait a minute. There are things happening in these parables that are not the normal of what happens in this world on this earth. What's going on here? And then looking deeper and deeper at it, several folks looking in at the parables and thinking through them once again had to say, well, part of the characteristic of a parable is that it starts out as an earthly story and then it completely goes off the tracks. And there's something in it that never does fit into this world in the normal way. And wait a minute, let's look at that spot where it springs off and see if there's something to be seen there. And then as people started doing that, they said, oh, boy, that makes a lot of sense now, doesn't it? And it does hold true all the way through for the parables. So, where does this go off the track? We start out, a sower went out to sow, then it heads off. I learned this growing up in the Chicago area and then heading out to Iowa where my first congregation was and living in a farm community and hearing the farmers tell about how careful they are with the seed. And every seed is important, and you just are not wasteful. But this sower who went out to sow, what is he doing? He's throwing it everywhere. Okay? Oh, there's the road. Throw. Oh, there's rocky ground. Throw. Oh, there's a bunch of weeds. Throw. Oh, there's good soil. Throw. And it's a wild picture that starts to come out of this. And then you say, okay, so this is where it does not fit the normal earthly story business. What is going on there? No, this is a different kind of sower going out to sow. This is not your normal farmer. Your normal farmer would not do that. He would not dare to do that. I've been asking farmers. That's not how they do it. So the sower who goes out to sow doesn't fit into the normal pattern. Who is the sower? That would be Jesus. And he is, to phrase it like this, he is wildly sowing. The normal sermon hymn that we used for the other two services, the sower sows his reckless love. It's wild abandon. And does this fit what we have learned of Jesus Christ? Is he wildly sowing the Word of God all over the world and throws the seed of the Word of God into places where you'd say to yourself, there's no way that anything's going to come of that. And actually, he is. Sowing the seed so wildly that the Word of God, the gospel message, happens to cover the world. Two examples. Back in 2002, had the opportunity of asking a missionary in Africa, of a missionary, saying, how many languages in the world are still to be reached with the gospel? And finding out that the missionaries and Bible translators don't talk quite the same way anymore. He said, we make a distinction between the untouched and the unreached. Because you see, around our area here, there are many, many languages where they don't have the gospel in their language. But there is a common language that everybody speaks. And the gospel is in there, and the whole Bible is published in that language. And we are in the business then of reaching up past that to get into these various languages where sometimes there's only a few hundred people speaking that language anymore. And then the next day we went out to the Kalahari and sat across the campfire from a fellow named Dawi and his family and listened to the missionary tell about Jesus Christ in the common language, and heard later on that Dawi had actually become a Christian. He and his family were baptized, and he was preparing to be confirmed and receive communion. Okay, that's how that goes. Second story, watching television, and it was a travelogue of Papua New Guinea. Back in the deep woods, they were finding crosses inscribed and carved into trees, where they did not know who lives here, but the cross inscribed there. The sower sowing wildly, recklessly, throwing seed everywhere in this world. And then we see how things actually work out. And we can say, oh, there's a life that is not, the person is not receptive to the Word of God. One way of looking at the parable would be to say, okay, that one is rocky soil, check, move on. Does the sower do that? No. Keeps throwing that seed everywhere. At which point, a little detour, I've got to tell you about my garden. Because we moved to Southern Illinois and bought a house and went out to the backyard and stuck a shovel in, and there was nothing but this horrible yellow clay. People said, you're never going to get anything to grow there. So what do? Well, if you're stubborn, you say, oh yes, we will. And so the first year we planted a few things and almost nothing came out of that. So we started working the soil. You find a farmer, a guy that owns horses, and you get a pickup truck. And you work that soil, and you work that soil, and you work that soil. And about 4 years in, now you got things growing, and you got a different problem because the deer have found it too. So, this sower who went out to sow, when he runs across the road, or the rocky, or the thorn and weed covered, what's he do? He keeps on sowing that Word of God. Because the Word of God has a power in itself, because it is that Word of God. My thoughts are not like your thoughts. As the rain and snow goes forth, so will be my word that goes forth, that will not return to me empty, says God. Old Testament lesson. Or the epistle. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to plant that seed into our hearts and into our souls. And we have a word for this. We call it means of grace. Which is, that God uses certain things. They are the means of grace. By them, He takes the forgiveness of sins and the life that He has for us. And by those means of grace, He plants the message of life into our hearts. We say means of grace, and we say, this is where God comes to us. This is where God meets with us. And we will hold and treasure those means of grace. What do we mean by means of grace? It's the Word of God. That's right at the center. And you know, when I get to this point, I cannot stop myself, can I? Means of grace. And God takes His Word, and He puts it into the water, and He pours it over us. And we have His promises given to us there. And He takes His Word, and He puts it on the altar, and there with bread and wine, with the body and blood of Jesus, He tells us, for the forgiveness of sins. Means of grace. And He puts it in our hearts, or He pours it over us, or He puts it on our tongue and says, eat. And another additional insight on this. You realize that when you take the Bible, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, these things involve all five senses, tasting and smelling, Lord's Supper, feeling, the baptism water poured over us, seeing as we read it and hearing as we hear it. It's God's design that all of our senses are involved in what He's doing with His means of grace, which is pretty cool. But we've watched it happen in our lives, in the lives of others around us. We've heard stories and read things about how that Word of God, once it penetrates the heart, once it gets in there and begins growing within us, that the Holy Spirit uses that means of grace, that Word of God, the promises that we have in Jesus Christ, the word of forgiveness from the cross, the message of eternal life, the words of God telling us that we are children of God, redeemed by Jesus Christ, and given the promise of living forever. That those means of grace things work within us. So the sower went out to sow. And Jesus, carrying the Word of God and sowing that Word of God all through the world, gathers people into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, into that relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's sweet. But there's more. Because Sunday after Sunday we come here and we have that same Word of God, that same seed that the sower is sowing. And He keeps on sowing that Word of God within us and the promises of God and the Word of God within us. And that's sweet. So then we come to the end of the sermon, where it's time for me to ask a question. Call it a quiz. And it goes like this. So the sower went out to sow, and he's sowing the seed of the Word of God. How long will he continue to sow the seed of the Word of God? How long will he continue to speak that Word of God and those promises to us? How long will he keep on doing that? There you go. Through all eternity. How sweet is that? In Jesus' name, amen.